So we're going to go straight to 1 Peter 2, and I want to encourage you to be ready for that. We're talking about being prepared for action. 1 Peter comes after all kinds of things, but one of the greatest things that you're going to see through 1 Peter, and I encourage you to read through it daily, but whether that's the whole thing or you read through it verse by verse, Pastor John has a great job, does a great job and has a great invitation for you to read daily with us in the Bible reading. But you're going to see humility. You're going to see this opportunity to be like Christ. And so today I'm looking at likewise. Do likewise. The very first time I heard likewise was from a friend of my grandfather's. He is this old man, and he was kind of just, I don't know, he was crusty. He had some words, but my grandmother said to him, "Gordy, you are such a blessing to our family. We love you very much." And he said, "Likewise." It means ditto, just like, same as, also, right? And I was like, dang. So I didn't love likewise, but I love it in the Bible. And so we're going to get after that. And like I said before, please be ready for God's message for you today. Not just Aaron Day talking, but you hearing from God. And we have a little bit of time, so we're going to get to it. We're going to go back just a couple of verses to something we read last week. 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. "He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, which is the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." We just celebrated that in communion. "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." He talks about submission a bunch and how people submit to people who aren't really always that good and just, but also you could submit to people that are. And he's talking about this idea that we as Christians in this broken world that is not our home may have to submit, may have to be subject to people who aren't good people. And then he finishes that little passage with saying, like Jesus. And so then we pick this up in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. "Likewise," and that means same, ditto, just like, "also, wives, be subject to your own husbands." I'd love to unpack that a whole lot, and I will. But can we go to own husbands for a second? This isn't all women submit to all men. That's not what this is talking about. Now, some of you aren't married, and so you're going to hear this and go, "Yet another time I'm not supposed to hear something." No, 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 no. Hear it. You still have a relationship with opposite sex. Wonderful. Learn what you can. You may still be married again one day. Or maybe you can help those who are married in your life. Please look for something that's for you, not just for somebody else. Likewise, if you are married, this is not time for you to elbow your partner. Let them hear what they need to hear. So likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, the good news, if they don't follow God, if they're not walking in obedience, if they're not even of the same religion, which Peter would have been writing to a bunch of people who were far from God, in a culture, and Jesus broke in and saved them, but not everybody got saved. Would you just take a quick second to look around? There's no judgment. Just look around at these wonderful people that are right here. None of you were born saved. None of you. None of us. And so he's like, look, even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word, by the conduct, the behavior, the conversation even of their wives. But I thought you just said no word. I mean, it's a play on words. It's super cool. If they don't obey the word, don't use a bunch of words. Don't neg them into the kingdom. "Oh, I'll give my life to Jesus. Just shut up." Not helpful. Not helpful. When they see your respectful and pure conduct. Can you see why this has been a little bit, okay, a lot of bit misrepresented? I mean, he goes from slaves to Jesus to wives. And he gives 6 verses to wives and 1 little verse to the husbands. But don't worry, at the end, we're going to go to Ephesians 5, where it gives 3 little verses to the wives and about 8 to the men. Well, 6.5. I've counted. No. I love this. There's a lot that I could unpack here. And there's a lot that you're going to want me to unpack. And there's a lot that you're going to have to take time to unpack with people. But be subject to your own husbands, wives. That if some of them don't obey, they could come to know the good news, the logos, the Jesus, by your actions, not by your many words, not by your lack of submission. I will say this up front, and I'll say it multiple times for the remainder of our time together. This is not saying if you're getting beat, suck it up, you might lead your husband to Jesus. This is not saying if your husband hates Jesus that you should hate him too. Nope. He's talking to believers. He's talking to women that maybe at one point were a different religion. And in their culture, you guys, if they were taken in marriage by a man, they would have to give up their gods, their friends, their family, and it was all about the man. He's saying, submit that you would win them to Jesus. Friends, you cannot win somebody to Jesus by not following Jesus. Did you hear that? We live in a culture that's like, oh, I'm going to leave Jesus out with the hope that one day you'll want him. Want who? How are they even going to know? Well, he's like, look, don't use a bunch of words. Okay, sweet. Your actions should honor Jesus Christ. Now, I don't love this thing that's been accredited to St. Francis of Assisi. It's like, hey, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. That's like feed the starving, and if necessary, give them some food. You're eventually going to have to say things, but Peter's saying, don't beat them over the head with a bunch of words, a bunch of sermons, a bunch of preaching. Live it out. And he says later, in 1 Peter 3, they're going to ask about the hope that's within you. And that's your time, with gentleness and respect, to get your preach on. I would say keep it brief, which is what I need to do, so we're going to keep moving. 1 John 3, now listen, I love this. John 3:16, most everybody can quote some of that, most of it. When I was reading Psalm 23, we're like King James-ish, maybe? No, yes, no? Okay, gosh, I'll just let Aaron read it. All right. But this is 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, but it's really good also. Listen to this. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. I'll let that land as it needs to. We're going to talk about living inside out. Ladies, this one is not just for you, but it's addressed to you. Fellas, don't take a nap. Don't check out. Everything is beautiful in its own way, right? But more than that, whatever that was. Do you know that God cares deeply about your heart? Do you know that he cares so much more deeply about your heart that he had this wonderful second king of his people Israel that got picked, but he was the runt of the litter? He had 7 older brothers who were more handsome than he, more taller than he, older than he. We're going to go really quickly to 1 Samuel 16:7, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Saul, the king, has completely turned his back on God and then made it look like he was just trying to bless God. And God said, look, I chose somebody else. We're going for that somebody else. Go to Jesse. I've picked one of his boys. He's going to be the king. And in 1 Samuel 16:7, God says to Samuel, who sees the oldest, tall, the first king of Israel, Saul, was a head taller than everybody else. Here comes in this good-looking brother who's tall, and God says to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. A man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God's not saying we don't judge the outward appearance. As a matter of fact, he's saying we do. He's saying, don't be like that. Get to know somebody's heart. Look on the heart of somebody. And that's in the same spirit that we read this inside-out beauty that God is talking to women about. But men, again, you're not off the hook. We're not off the hook. By the way, that just reminds me. I'm a man telling you women what to do. We love that in our culture, don't we? So much. My brother is calling me. He knows what I do. Brady. Okay. I'm serious. Gosh, like I need distractions. All right, here we go. What I'm trying to tell you, and I said this earlier today, I love the Word of God, all of it, and I'm not going to avoid it. I don't want to just pretend. I don't want to just make it a comedy show. I actually want to take this serious. Wives, you just heard you need to submit to your husbands, hoping that you might win some that don't know the Lord with your actions. And that is, oh, well, it was an accommodation for evangelism purposes. We don't have to submit today because it's 2022. I don't think we have to just wholesale submit, walk all over me. But there's nothing in God's word that says, oh, no, you don't have to submit if you don't feel like it. I hate it. I hate that you and I pick and choose the things in the Bible. When I said you and I, that isn't a pastoral way of saying. No, it's us. We pick and choose. Well, I know that self-control is, you know, fruit of the Holy Spirit, but I love sugar. So I don't need really all that self-control. Plus, if I die, I just go to heaven. So I'll keep smoking and drinking and chewing and go with girls that are doing. Anyways, all right, here we go. Do not let your adorning, it says in 1 Peter 3:3. Do not let your adorning, putting on, be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. Don't let it just be the outward appearance. Don't let it show off your beauty in that way. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty. Get this, it will not perish. That's what imperishable means. The imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. Of course, this is written by a husband, so that's what's beautiful. No, he's saying to God, it's precious in his sight. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, some of the men are like, Lord, put that in the old vocabulary. This means, sir, this is a sign of respect, not you're the Lord. Lord, sir. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Oh, that's easy. Don't have to fear anything that's frightening. Got it. Next, anything else? That's good. This thing just preaches itself. I mean, there's so much about fear. We talked about it for a long time. Do not fear, right? 366 times, one for even leap year, right? All the way through the Bible, you hear, don't fear. Wonderful. You don't have to fear what's frightening because your focus is on the Lord. That's really, really, really easy to say, but it's hard to do. But church, we're not being called to easy. And yet that's what we want. But some people are like, yeah, we're not called to easy. You don't ever tell me what to do. Only Jesus does. He does tell us what to do. It's right here. Women, if you want to be gorgeous, let it start inside first. You're beautiful. You're made in the image of God. But it's not like, oh my goodness, look at Kathy. She's got Jesus' nose. Oh my goodness. Would you look at Carol? She's got the eyes of the Lord. Oh, wonderful. It's not the outward appearance. We are like him in character. And so he's saying, look, you come out and let your beauty be from the inside and let it come out. Sarah's name means princess. She knew who her daddy was, and it allowed her to submit to a husband that wasn't always worthy to be submitted to. Her husband borderline pimped her out twice, and God protected her. Some of you haven't been protected in the way you want to be, the way you need to be, the way you should be. And God allowed that to happen for reasons I will not be able to explain. But he never stopped being your daddy, and he never stops loving you, and he's never, ever stopped giving you a chance to be cared for by him. Ever. So you guys, I want to point out that Peter is talking about a humility here that goes from being slaves to being like Jesus to being a wife in a marriage where you submit to a husband. These are all people, including Jesus, who was considered lesser. This is the likewise. Now, God instituted marriage. God never instituted slavery. God didn't institute torture, but he did warn everybody in the very beginning, right? Through one person, and then the one person told the next person, and then they both said, and we're going to do our thing. And then a curse came in. But he warned, don't do this. Don't. If you go your own way, you will die. You'll be separated. And then he promised that he would pay that price too once we did it. But here's the curse that came down. A woman would long to not only know her husband's heart, but to master him. And he would have dominion over her. And he would dominate because he wants to be in control. Is this starting to sound familiar at all to anybody? No, my husband's amazing. Thank you, Kathy. Okay. This is real life. If it's not today, it could be tomorrow. It could be later, or maybe it was yesterday. But there's the curse, and God's wanting to flip the script on the curse. He's like, look, it's time for submission. First to God, and then to each other. And so I got one more likewise for you. It's in 1 Peter 3:7. In the same way, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. This is according to knowledge. This is this idea of respect and fear and honor. I love this. It talks about an understanding way, personal knowledge, intimate care. Knowing your wife, not just sexually, but emotionally, relationally, personally. Church, God knows us inside and out. He knows what we need before we ask, and yet he calls us to ask. We need to go to school on our wives, husbands. We need to understand them and to know what works for them and what doesn't. And as long as it's not going to take them away from Jesus, why not accommodate? Ephesians talks about a lot of things, and we'll get to that in just a second, but in particular, Ephesians 4, which we won't read today, says, let your words build up others according to their need. How do you know what somebody's need is? Somebody really quick, how do you know what somebody's need is? You ask them, cool, good, and then listen, right? What's another way for us to know what somebody's needs are? Get to know them, observe, walk with them, spend some time. I love you, honey, but the game's on. You don't understand. I gave it the office. How about this one? This one will go over way, way more poorly than submit, probably. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Weaker vessel. There's way too much to unpack on this, but this is not lesser. This is not co-heir, because we just read at the end of it, co-heirs, heirs with you of the grace of life. This is not diminishing women. There is something of this word weaker that has to be unpacked better for us. Look, when it comes to fine china, people put it on a shelf and barely use it. This idea of a weaker vessel is the idea of something that's crafted very well and is precious and to be valued. I'm going to read a quote at the end, but I'll give you the end of the quote. We all, according to God, are actually weaker vessels. But husbands, treat your wives in an understanding way. Knowledge of them, understand them. Help them, not because they're so physically weak, but because you've been given this great gift. Care for that great gift. I don't stand before you as somebody who's mastered that. Never mind that my wife's in the room and can totally hold me accountable. I would tell you the same. Without her being in the room, I have not always valued her. I have not always treated her the way she should be treated. I haven't always given her the accommodation that she needs, and that's kindness and gentleness and support. You know what my wife has done out of kindness to me? She said, you don't have to say all the things, just do them. Yeah. But it's so much easier to say it. Some women are like, oh gosh, I would love for my husband to say it. If he's doing it, thank him. Maybe the words will come, and they should. No man is perfect. No woman is perfect. But husbands, we're called as a matter of spiritual vitality to treat our wives with honor and value. Their schedule is important. You know what? When I made the plan to go with my mom and take her to Boise, I didn't ask Kathy. I told her. That's pretty normal in our marriage. I can kind of schedule just about anything, and it impacts mostly me and then eventually everybody else, but I'm usually thinking of me. When Kathy makes plans, she thinks of me and the kids and the grandkids and her mother. It's like that joke, like a man says, oh, I'm going to go to bed. She says, me too. He goes in, brushes his teeth, goes to the bathroom, goes to bed. She unloads the dishwasher, goes down to make sure the laundry is all taken care of, kisses and hugs the kids, prays with them, and then 45 minutes to an hour later, goes to bed. Honor and value. How can we make things better on one another? Now I'm getting into the live it out, so I'll just hold on here. But so as to balance out what we've heard today, there is a critical shortage of people being willing to be humble, both men and women. Please hear me again. I'm not saying women. You need to submit more, and that'll make your husband a better guy. It's not what Peter was even saying. You know what Peter is saying? Likewise. Be like Jesus. Humble yourselves, each of you. He gives 6 verses to the women, 1 verse to the men. And to that point, and I'll just have to summarize this with these 3 words. What we're seeing isn't some kind of cultural phenomenon. This is Christ, it is culture, and it is creation. Let me tell you about creation really quick. There's a creator, and we're not him. One creator, Yahweh, the Lord God Most High. He made us, and he knows how we're supposed to work. Why did he make men first? I don't know. He gave man to woman and woman to man, and they are to complete each other. They came from the same place. And so as a opportunity to have you hear, not so much just a balance, but to hear something that for me has changed my life a lot and continues to change my life a lot. I want to read to you Peter's counterpart, his cohort in Christ, Paul. It's Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Starts with a picture of the gospel, laying down our lives, just like Jesus did. Look, the very first verse, and it comes off of all kinds of cool things about not doing nasty things, not being filled up by wine, being filled up by the Holy Spirit, not being foolish, giving thanks always, and then it's this, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Church, who do we submit? To one another. Why? For Christ, for the honor of Christ, for the reverence of Christ, for the fear of Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands. There's that word again. As to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. People have abused this passage for years. Women need a savior. So do men. Don't get it twisted. Jesus is the one who is all of our husband. Now, but I'm male. That's just homosexual and scary. This isn't sexual at all. This is relational, the way God designed it to be. We're in need of a Savior. So this idea of men humbling themselves and being Savior to women isn't like, I'm a man, let me grab that bag for you. You weak one, I read it in 1 Peter. No, it's serving, it's loving, it's coming alongside of. My friend was opening the door at a bank, and this woman was coming, and he just smiled and waited, and when he got there, she goes, what? Were you opening the door because I'm a woman? And he goes, I thought you might be a lady. But But the reality is, I asked him, how many times have you opened the door for a man? And he said, not very much. And I said, start. Yeah. By the way, when you do that, men will, no, no, I'm fine. Man, get over yourself, bro. It's a door. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Please understand, God would not have you submit in disobeying him to your husbands. He wouldn't. There's the three verses for the wives. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Honey, I would die for you. Would you put your work down? Somebody's got to pay the bills. Humble yourself. Lay down your life. He did so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That this man would lay down his life for his wife to make her the best that she could possibly be. Can you legitimately admit that though men and women are strong on their own, they're better together? They're better helping each other. They're better bringing out this beauty for one another. In the same way, likewise, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Now, that whole thing was that Jesus was doing this for us, his bride. Y'all need help. Just like the shirt from Walmart says, y'all need Jesus. Every one of us. Now, he says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. If my baby's happy, I can be happy. If I'm taking care of my wife, I'm taking care of me. If I'm putting her first, I'm going to be okay. Women and children first, after me. No one ever hated his own flesh. Some of us don't like our bodies, but the point here is like, you take care of yourself for the most part. But he nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Jesus does it so much better for the church. Because we are members of his body, he's caring for us. When we realize that what we do for one another helps us too, now we're into something where submitting starts to make sense. I do for you. Look, wives, if your husband was more like Jesus, it would be easier to submit to him. That's not to say, hey, if he does what's right, then you submit to him. Nope. Submit. Husbands are like, look, if she just submitted, then I'd be able to lay down my life. That's not what the Bible says. It says lay down your, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Humble yourselves. Lay down your life for your wife. Maybe it'll woo her into doing what she's supposed to do, but you do it out of reverence for Christ, out of obedience, not so she can finally do what she's supposed to do. That becomes transactional, and man, is that a mess. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is not just a sexual meaning. It does include that. Leave your mother and your father. He's a mama's boy. She's her daddy's little girl. None of those things will ultimately change, but you've got to be able to be, oh gosh, I'm so late. All right, here we go. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Love and Respect. It's a great book. Please look it up. It's for men and women, husbands and wives, and it is one of the most difficult books Kathy and I have ever read together. This man, Eric, and I cannot pronounce his last name, Pazdzora or whatever, has this long quote. Please hang with me. It summarizes everything super well. The gospel is directly and deeply related to the way husbands treat their wives. God has chosen his people to be the bride of Christ, Revelation 19:7. This is a great mystery, writes Paul regarding marriage, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, Ephesians 5:32. I will betroth you to me forever, God says through the prophets, Hosea 2:19 in particular. For your maker is your husband, says Isaiah in 54:5. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you, Isaiah 62:5. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband, Jeremiah 3:14. That means we all are weaker vessels. We're to treat each other likewise. More help and more conversation is definitely needed, but the text is the text. God's word is eternal. It does not come back empty. Submitting, honoring, valuing, doing it for Christ, doing it for the honor of glorifying God is such a gift. And it's really, really hard. Husbands, I want to read something for you and then we're done. Husbands who ignore this command will find that their prayers are hindered, which means that God will refuse to answer what they're talking about. He'll still love you, but your prayers are hindered. God does not bless with his favor those who are in positions of authority and abuse those who are under them by mistreating them. You might be able to get away with it for a while, but everybody has to pay the piper. Humility is wonderful. Repentance is fruit of humility. Turn around, church. We need to honor Jesus. Father, today's your day. I rejoice in that. And whoever's downstairs, I pray that they're still living. And I thank you so much for today. Thank you that next hour is going to get a much more dissected and really divided message. And I pray, God, that they would hear it clearly. I pray today we've heard you clearly. I pray that we would take time in your word, take time in discussion of your word, but take time obeying your word rather than just reading it or thinking about it or talking about it. But we would do it and help us to understand what that looks like in very, very difficult situations. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Don't keep the good news to yourself.